to one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Okay, Eli Apple making a tackle. Oh my God, you see that blitz? Woo! Watch this blitz. Look where it came from. They got the perfect camera.
Oh, we need this game. We need this game. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Sports Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. William D. Morgan. I got G from Cleveland on the line, and we are watching the rest of this game. Let me tell you about, all you guys know, I'm a Saints fan. Look, these dudes have killed me tonight. I know it's a divisional game. I know it's a tough opponent. I understand all that. Really, dude? Really? That's all you can do is put up 12 points? Drew Brees hadn't thrown a touchdown. It was a Alvin Kamara run that has this lead at 12-9. Really should be 13-6, but Sean Payton decides to go for two. Fails. Gets intercepted. Give up the 2 points. Can't score on the other end. And I get it. It's a divisional game. Familiar foe. We know them. They know us. I understand all that. End of the game. Saints win 12-9. It's November, December. You take what you can get. But damn. All we can put up is 12 points?
It's so good.
Oh my goodness. Drew Brees. Let me refresh this. Oh, make sure I do the man at least some justice. Drew Brees, 22 of 35, 203 yards, one interception. Cam Newton was just as bad, if not worse. 16 of 29 for 131 yards, one interception. The running game, Alvin Kamara, 14 carries, 67 yards, one touchdown. McCaffrey, 15 carries for 53 yards. He also threw one. And it was kind of funny that people kept saying it was a 50-yard touchdown. It was a 50-yard touchdown, yeah, but he only threw it 10 yards. The rest was yak. Yards after the catch.
Right.
Michael Thomas leads the Saints in receiving, 7 receptions for 49 yards. McCaffrey again. Leads the Panthers in receptions. 8 receptions for 67 yards. Ugly win. I'll take it. But it's just completely, utterly ugly and disgusting. But it was a road win, and you will take that. You guys are calling to the show. 706-993-4606 is that number to call in. 706-993-4606 is definitely that number to call in. Gene, can you still hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay. That's why I'm holding my mic. I want to go to you, and I want you to clarify something for me. And I think we did it on Facebook, but I want you to clarify this. What is this saying that you guys keep talking about feeling dangerous? What the hell does that mean? What does that mean?
Well, that was when you know Baker Mayfield when he won his first game and his post game presser, the guy asked him one of the reporters asked him, he's like, you know, what was special about today? And, you know, what was behind the win? He was like, well, I just woke up feeling dangerous.
The hell?
So we, you know, we go back and forth about it. And now they actually making T-shirts and I mean, the Browns, you know, they're making T-shirts and they're using it as a moniker. I was using it as a joke, which it still is to me, you know, but it is what it is. And so now every you may wake up feeling dangerous.
Oh, my goodness. shout out to my fellow Saints fan on Facebook, Jasmine Sierra Ballard. Shout out to you. You've been hanging with me as a Saints fan for about two seasons now. So shout out to you. You've been hanging there, hanging out, and shout out to you for being there. Tonight was just ugly, but again, we will take that win. All right. Let's talk about a couple of other games that took place over the weekend. We got the big upset, the Eagles over the Rams, 30-23. How did the Rams pull off this upset, man?
You know what?
How did the Eagles, rather? I'm sorry.
The Rams just got weapons. And, you know, those, and they're one of them little, they're feisty team. But you can see those teams, like the Rams, they all break it. They all, the season is wearing on them.
Yeah.
So they're struggling. They're really struggling to get wins. And there's big plays that's keeping those guys in the win column.
I'll tell you another thing, too, that no one really talks about that I think might make a difference. Cooper Kupp being out might make that difference. I know people keep looking at
Cooper Kupp out for them. Then you got Hunt out for Kansas City.
Yep.
Which in that game, that definitely they're missing him.
Yep.
And but yeah, Cooper Kupp is huge. But they got so many other weapons. I think what's your name is still out on defense. Talib
came back yesterday.
Did he come back?
He came back. He had a nice little interesting moment with a fan yesterday. Fan called him out. He walked over to the fan. And, well, I'm not gonna ruin it. You can head over to the Sports Report page. The video is there. It's only like a 38 second clip, I think, and it showed him having some choice words for that fan.
I don't know why they take the time out to even argue with
that
guy.
And matter of fact, it wasn't even to leave. I think it was Marcus Peters who did it. And Marcus Peters is the last one that need to be talking trash.
Right.
I mean, I know Peters is from Oakland and everything, but come on, man.
And he had an interception yesterday.
Yeah.
First one for them. And but they just, like I said, these teams is getting down to the nitty gritty.
Yeah.
You know, teams are beat up, obviously. And they're struggling.
Yeah.
Pat Mahomes is keeping Kansas City all the way alive.
And what did we talk about last week as we move on to the Chargers and the Chiefs? What did we talk about last week? I told y'all, don't be sleeping on the Chargers. And they got it done. Without Melvin Gordon, Keenan Allen went out in that game hurt. They got it done. And if Kansas City slips, let's say they lose against Seattle, stranger things have happened. So, and San Diego wins out. Guess what? They win the AFC. They're the number one seed.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, if they went out, they're 13 and 3, I think. So, 13 and 3.
Who the Chargers?
They will be if they went out.
They'll be
13 and 3. Mm-hmm.
And that's 11 wins is surprising for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and a good win over the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, the Chiefs are wearing, you know, they're wearing down.
Yep.
And, you know, the loss of Hunt shows.
Oh, big time. Big time.
Oh, yeah. Phillip Rivers had a better game than Pat Mahomes, actually.
Yeah. I think so, too.
Yep.
I think so, too. Let's go ahead and talk about another game. We'll break down these games, go over the scoreboard, give you also a look over the NBA. We're also going to be talking about LeBron's Lakers and that last performance they had against the Washington Wizards. the Patriots lose to the Steelers. What did you think about that game, and should the Patriots be concerned?
I'd be concerned because they got two back-to-back losses.
Yep.
You know, I'd be real concerned, especially this late in the season. But as we know them, you know, the playoffs is a whole nother season. And when they get there, they're a whole nother team. You know, I would be worried about maybe execution or motivation right now. But other than that, you know, once they get in the playoffs, they're a different team.
All right, let's go over some of these scores real quick. Game we just talked about: Chargers defeat the Chiefs 29-28. Texans defeat the Jets 29-22. Browns defeat the Broncos 17-16. Browns are what, 6-7-1?
6-7-1.
Wow. Falcons defeat the Cardinals 40-14. Bills defeat the Lions 14-13. Bears defeat the Packers 24-17. Bengals defeat the Raiders 30-16. Colts beat the Cowboys 23-0. Vikings defeat the Dolphins 41-17. Titans defeat the Giants 17-0. Redskins defeat the Jaguars 16-13. Ravens defeat the Bucks 20-12. 49ers defeat the Seahawks 26-23. Steelers defeat the Patriots 17-10. Eagles defeat the Rams 30-23. And the Saints defeat the Carolina Panthers 12-9 in the ugliest game of the year. That thing was ugly.
7-1 on the road.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
You'll take it. You'll take it all day. But
yep,
it's just ugly. It is just ugly. All right, let's go ahead and talk about the LA Raiders. Let's talk about the LA Lakers. Over that last loss against the Wizards. 128-110. LeBron only gets you 13 points throughout the game.
Mutual. They customize my insurance, so I only pay for what I need.
What's that?
Okay, we good?
Yeah. I didn't know what that was. Lakers go down 128-110 against the Wizards in their last game. LeBron only gives you 13 points. Why do you think they lost that game?
You just said it. LeBron played 13 minutes or scored 13 points. Yeah,
13.
That's definitely a season low.
Mm-hmm.
You know, LeBron, you know, the way he plays is he tries to win early.
Right.
And get those guys on the same page. He said he's good with where they're at right now because he believes they done got better every week. But in all reality, once again, he makes such a big impact to where it shows 13 points. I don't know exactly how many minutes he played. I know they've been limited his minutes. I think he's at like 34 averaging on the season, but he might have been trying to take somewhat of a rest and see what these guys collectively going to do without him. Because he can be in the game and play good minutes, but he can just get real passive.
Yeah.
I didn't see this particular game, but it sounds like that's probably what he did. He got passive, and it's a heat check for him. I carried you guys. Now I'm going to see what you guys are going to do. And now he'll turn it back on here in probably next couple games because they got to get over a couple of these losses. And them was a big losses, too.
Oh, yeah. That loss to the Rockets was no joke either. All right, let's go ahead and get you caught up on some of these scores in the association. My Bulls are just trash, losing to the Oklahoma City Thunder 121-96. Russell Westbrook 13 points, 16 rebounds, 11 assists. Lauri Markkanen 16 points, 15 rebounds, 2 steals. Got a couple of ongoing games. The Warriors are beating the Grizzlies 55-34. Also got the Clippers and Trailblazers tied at 56. That's about going to halftime. Also got some more finals. Bucks defeat the Pistons 107-104. Suns defeat the Knicks 128-110. Rockets defeat the Utah Jazz 102-97. James Harden, another big night, 47 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Timberwolves defeat the Sacramento Kings 132-105. And the San Antonio Spurs, the old school San Antonio Spurs, 16-15, 12-5 at home, defeat the 76ers 123-96. LaMarcus Aldridge, 20 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists. Ben Simmons leads the way for the 76ers, 16 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. LaMarcus Aldridge is playing like old school Portland.
Well, he's a go-to guy.
Yeah. He is playing very, very well. I guess being the go-to guy really, really suits him.
Yeah, because DeMar DeRozan, I mean, you know, he's still feeling his way around the West, around that coaching.
Yeah.
But, you know, LaMarcus was actually, once Kawhi went out last year, he was actually the one that had to carry him a little bit. So that that doesn't surprise me with him. He's the only guy I know is a power forward, man, that can shoot like he does, man. You know, he's a good player. And then he scored those. And he only plays, he's only averaging about 30 minutes. If that, some games. You
and
know.
He's still putting it together.
Yeah, and DeMar had a good game, too, tonight. He had 20 on 29 minutes of work. I mean, they obviously complement each other, but like I said, LaMarcus is a double-double almost any given night.
Give me a set.
This is how we plan our surprises and find the best values on the best bread.
All right. Let me get your thoughts. Max Kellerman said Tom Brady's going to fall off a cliff. Has Tom Brady met that cliff now?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a matter. You know, like I said, I honestly think he came back because, you know, he probably feel, in his mind, physically and mentally, is, you know, those are two different things. So I think he thought physically that he could still, you know, perform at a high level. Just like we talked about with Kansas City, the Saints, the Rams. The rigors of the season, you know, they that wear and tear, it'll get to an older guy, you know. He's 41.
Yep.
He's not no, you know,
no spring chicken.
But I think a lot of it with them is just now we're seeing the Tom Brady that really needs a running game. Because, you know, he doesn't really have the premier backs back there like he always does. They're pretty decent, but somebody could take the load off, you know, because they pretty much put everything on Tom Brady. I think it's just, you know, the rigors of the season. But like I said, this is the same team that will look horrible this past weekend, and then come playoff time, it's a whole nother ball game. So, you know, you can't ever count them out. Not as long as Tom is back there.
Yeah.
But he is slowing down.
I think a couple of things really hurt the Patriots. I think the Brandon Cooks trade hurt the Patriots. The running backs going down hurts them. Gronk not being what Gronk is hurts them.
Yeah.
He can't really run anymore. Not like he used to. He's not the same player. I think all that hurts. I think the line not being as good as it once was also hurts them as well. They're just not the same team. And I get it. The whole thing with Miami, the way they lost that Miami game will hurt you. I get it. But you had a chance to win this game and – or at least tie it and taking it in overtime, and you didn't do it. And it's just going to be, I think it's going to be tough road to hoe. I think they got the Bills and the Jets left on the schedule. And the way Buffalo's been playing, and the Jets have been competitive too with Sam Darnold under center, with the way the Patriots are looking, you can't really call those gimmies right now.
Yeah, and then you got, you know, Josh Gordon can't be catching one pass a game.
Nope.
You know, so is that, what? Like I said, once again, I didn't visually see that game, but is that great? Is that great defense on Pittsburgh's part, or is that Josh Gordon, the Cleveland Brown is coming out of you?
Yeah, Cleveland Brown coming out of you. Oh, my goodness. We got another phone call coming in.
What was that, Doombot?
Everybody, please welcome my good friend, a man I love like a brother, but I still had to get him from, this, from the Speakeasy Network.
The word.
Please welcome my good friend Rage. Rage, how you doing, man?
Whatever. Let me get. I already know where this is gonna go. Let me guess. So, yeah, you, Tom Brady lost, and this, that, and the third. Look. I already know it's not our year. I fully know that. Mm-hmm. Our defense stinks. You happy? Are you happy now?
I didn't bring you on here just to
you
talk
guys are
about
satanists.
That.
I think you guys are real, like you guys really get off on the Pats losing. And that's sad, and I think y'all should seek help.
How you doing this week, man?
Whatever. Just whatever. Just fucking. I mean, I thought I'd fucking watch the fucking college football playoff already.
Oh man, I want to talk about that right now. As we know, we got the top four teams, or supposedly the top four teams in the country, and Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame. How the hell they made it, I'm still trying to figure that out. And Oklahoma. Who you guys got winning the college football playoff? We got that coming up in what, a week or so?
I think it's 2 weeks.
Yeah, two weeks. Mm-hmm. Who you got?
How about anybody but fucking Alabama? I'm tired of Alabama, yo. Like but then again, when I really look at it, the only team I can really see contending with Alabama is Clemson with their defense. But I mean, I really don't see, I don't see any team beating Alabama.
Nope. Complete robots.
Yeah, I think the only reason why Oklahoma might stand a chance is because they do have a dynamic offense that might put up some points. But the thing that's going to kill them, their defense is terrible, and I think that might hurt them. But they might be able to outscore Alabama, and if you can outscore Alabama, hey, particularly if it's Jalen Hurts back there, if it's Tuvalu, no, he's too dynamic of a playmaker. But if it's Jalen Hurts back there, hey, that offense slows down with Hurts back there. And Hurts is steady Eddie, but Tugalova is the real quarterback. And if he's not out there playing, and he should be back, but if he's not out there playing, and it's Jalen Hurts out there starting, Oklahoma got a shot. They got a shot.
You can only catch lightning in a bottle once every so often. Mm-hmm. I don't think Jalen Hurts is that guy who could win you a national championship.
Nope, not at this point.
Yeah. But I love Clemson. I would love to see Clemson. I would love to see Clemson win this thing. I really would. Oklahoma's going to have something to say about it, though. Bama's going to have something to say. The team, I've said it, Rage, me and you've gone through it. Gene, me and you've gone through it. I don't think Notre Dame deserves to be there. I really don't.
No, they don't.
I really don't.
They don't.
And this is coming from somebody who hardly ever watches college football.
Yep.
All you got to do is look at who they've played.
Yep.
The majority of their wins come from the lower end of the ACC conference.
Yep.
And like, they have a win against Vanderbilt, who's at the bottom of the SEC. They have, who else they played? They played a Pac-12 team.
They played Stanford.
The Pac-12 has been the worst conference this season.
They played Stanford. I think it was Stanford. Stanford, and then I think the other ranked opponent they played was Maryland.
And they're not even in a conference.
Ah, my goodness.
I mean, hell, yo, like, last year, I said Alabama did not deserve to be in the playoff because they did not win the SEC championship. Right. With one loss or not. But at least they have a claim because they're in a conference.
Right.
Like, Notre Dame plays like they really had a cupcake game type season, and they get to play for a championship.
Oh, and don't even get me started. They don't even play for a conference title. They don't even play for one. Everybody's playing for conference titles. They're at the house,
which is what you know what I would do. Have all take all those independent teams and turn that into a conference.
Yep.
Yeah, you could do that.
Yep. You can do sounds that. Like
that's
a plan.
It. Sounds like a plan to me.
That's it.
Sounds like a plan to me.
And if Notre Dame would have a better chance. Notre Dame would have a better argument to be in the playoff. If they played in the regular season, you know, a Clemson, a Georgia, or, you know, like some of these teams with like, you know, with like actual, you know, weight, like they haven't played a Wisconsin. They haven't played a Nebraska,
right.
A Penn State. Like, where are those top level teams? They're nowhere.
Yeah.
But, and this is my problem with college football and scheduling your own season. I think there should be, and I know it would take a lot of work and a lot of people, but there should be a committee in the NCAA that schedules your games for every single team in every single conference. And I would also say that since you only have like one national championship for these Power Five conferences and everybody else, you know, I would say that, you know, I don't know. I think there should be like two committees, one that schedules games for your Power Five and one committee that schedules for everybody else.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
That's just me.
That'd be interesting. That would be interesting. Well, yesterday, going back to the pro side of things, the Colts defeat the Cowboys 23-0 behind the rushing prowess of Marlon Mack.
Uh-huh.
Oh my goodness. Did we hype the Cowboys up too soon?
No, it's not we, it's Cowboy fans hyped the Cowboys up too soon. I didn't hype them up at all. I thought they would be an 8-18. And that's what they always are, is an 8-18. Right. The problem doesn't start with the team. The problem starts with the GM/owner and the coach. But since it's Jerry Jones' team and he's never going to relinquish that seat as GM, you need a new coach.
Yeah, he ain't never going to relinquish that as GM owner. No, never. He ain't going to sell that team no time soon.
I mean, if I'm... It's very far fetched. Like, this is very like like out there thinking. But if I'm Jerry Jones, I would give Nick Saban an empty check and say, write a number.
Let me ask you, Gene.
What's up?
What did you think about the coach shutting out the Cowboys yesterday?
The coach. I hear you. What'd you say, coach? What?
What do you think about the Colts defeating the Cowboys yesterday, 23-0? Do we hype the Cowboys up too soon?
You know what? Especially with the Cowboys, I think it's inconsistent quarterback play. Because I don't want to all put it all on Dak.
Right.
But then Zeke, he doesn't have such a really good game. You know what I mean? And I don't. I think they got lackadaisical that game. That's all. I think they just got lackadaisical. I think they're not the team that they're like the media's portraying them to be. Mm-hmm. I think they're getting lucky with some games. I think games they're getting streaky. I don't know. They're not, because I don't want to put it all on Dak, because everybody's putting it all on Dak's play.
Right.
He's not accurate, and it's not all him. You know. How did Amari Cooper play yesterday?
Next to nothing.
So, you know, I mean, Amari can't be anybody if the ball can't get to him. Obviously, right?
Right.
But at the end of the day, you know. Like I said, they want to put it back on Dak, and I don't know if the adjustments that they make game to game and for certain defenses. I don't know. You can't really pinpoint it. I think it's week 13. It's at the end of the season, and all kinds of stuff is just starting to go haywire. And it really, to me, I don't think it's a clear cut team in the NFL that I could say is Super Bowl ready.
See, I would. Here's where I disagree slightly.
Excuse me.
I think Dak is a pretty good quarterback. I'd say he's a B+ quarterback, right? Right. And I think the Cowboys overall, I think they're loaded with talent. I think if you didn't look at their record and you would look at who they have, I think on paper they look like a pretty, you know, talented team. I think their problem goes back to coaching. And I think they need I think the Cowboys problems really wouldn't go on if you had a different coach. I mean, I would compare this to the LA, the Rams situation. They had they had Jeff Fisher, I think his name is. Jeff Fisher was, you know, at the helm of the Rams for many seasons, and he hardly had a winning season.
Yeah, throw him out,
replace him with Sean McVay. And now I think, and now they look like one of the better teams in the NFL. I think it's a matter of coaching. I think it's just as simple as that.
What do you think? You want to put it on head coach, or do you want to put it on this offensive coordinator?
Who's their offensive coordinator?
What is the guy's name?
I thought it was Lynn.
He's the one calling him. He's the one calling the plays, obviously. And for Amari Cooper to go, you know, for Amari Cooper to go 4 for 32 yards.
Yep. 4 receptions, 32 yards. Next to nothing.
Right. And your highest receiver was Blake Jarwin.
A guy you never heard of.
You know, and then you got a Zeke who runs for 87 yards, no TDs. So I'm leaning more towards the offensive coordinator in this one, because
yeah,
I think
fair enough.
Scott,
what I'm saying is if you look at the game stats, they shared the ball a lot. I mean, he put it in 1, 2, 3. He put it in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys' hands Sunday.
Yeah,
you know, and Noah Brown's a bench player, and Allen Hurns, he's a bench player, but and Schultz is a bitch player. But what I'm saying is it looks like, to me, I think they tried to do something a little different that game, maybe spread the ball around a little bit more because maybe teams were kind of focusing on Zeke and Dak and Amari Cooper, you know what I mean? So maybe tried to mix it up and it just didn't work. You think maybe that happened?
Possibly. I think another thing that was kind of interesting too, to me, the Cowboys defense, they really didn't get the Andrew Luck yesterday. He didn't get sacked.
Nope. No sacks.
None.
But he didn't throw a TD.
Nope.
But he didn't throw an interception.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that balances out.
Yeah.
They really just couldn't get anything done. That's really it. They just could not get anything done.
You know, all the TDs came from what? You got 2D rushing TDs.
Marlon Mack.
Yep, Marlon Mack.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think Andrew Luck should be up for comeback player of the year.
Oh, definitely. 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 I agree there.
I liked Andrew coming out the draft. I liked him over RG3. I thought he was more a traditional quarterback. I thought he was a hard-nosed guy, blue-collar guy. And he's one of those guys that takes me as, if he didn't get it right today, he damn sure going to work and try to get it right tomorrow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed.
But then I also think that Andrew Luck, the same thing I would say for Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck should be anywhere but Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Because they have not really given him any kind of support.
I feel you, man.
I don't know.
That's why he's probably among the most sacked quarterbacks in the league.
I mean, but they did go out in the draft. They did draft a couple offensive linemen this year to give him protection. Hasn't been sacked all that much this year as a whole.
And they stuck with him through his injury.
Mm-hmm. So the offensive line has gotten better. The defense is playing a lot better than what it used to up in Indy. And, of course, Marlon Mack is running the football. T.Y. Hilton is healthy and playing really, really well. So they have a very good squad in Indy. I don't know how far you go in the playoffs, but they do have a solid squad offensively down in Indy. The defense is playing better. So we'll see where they end up going. I don't think they're world beaters by any stretch, but I think if you put them, anybody can be anybody, and if you put them against the right opponent, Indy can make you pay.
They can make you pay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I need to get a look at that playoff picture.
Yeah, me too. Cool. I want to see that.
Andy can make you pay. Another team we want to talk about very, very quickly before we get out of tonight. The Chicago Bears ended up winning the division yesterday.
Goddamn, are they good.
With a win over the Green Bay Packers, they win the NFC, the NFC Central. And those guys have, what Khalil Mack has really done a good job. My only concern about the Bears is Mitchell Trubisky. How consistent can he be? What can he do in the playoffs? He's my only concern.
Because he's been pretty fortunate to have Khalil Mack on defense.
Yep.
Bells, you know, good defenses, you know, make great offenses.
Right.
And you know, he did. Yesterday was a banner day for him. I mean, 20 for 28,
mm-hmm.
235 yards, 2 TDs,
yep.
With a good, pretty good QBR. But, you know, like I said, when you got that defense working the way it does, not necessarily getting stops or holding teams to like certain points, but they make very big plays when you need them.
Right.
Let me tell you how good I think the Bears are. If you're the Saints, the Rams, or the Rams, I would not want to see them anytime soon.
Not early.
Nope.
No, I wouldn't. Because that, I'll give you this. You have a point with Mitch. I still think he's a developing quarterback, but I think he's progressing very, very well. That defense is scary. Like,
yep.
And it's really showing how much the Raiders should have never gave up Khalil Mack, because
I always want to clear that up about the Khalil Mack situation, because it's week what, 13?
Yep.
And we're all still saying, oh, the Raiders gave this guy up. Listen, I'm a Raiders guy. They tried to work with him. Him and his people didn't want to buy in to a long-term contract. All he wanted to do was extend the last year of his current contract. He wanted the money, and the Raiders said, okay, we'll give you the money if you let us franchise tag you. He didn't want, his team said, no, we don't want the franchise tag.
I got a question. Not to cut you off. What is a franchise tag?
It's a way of locking a player in for a certain amount of money. So it's the same as Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell was, what was it, $14 million he lost this year?
I think it was $14 million he lost this year.
It was $14 million. So the $14 million was his, that's the franchise tag. But he couldn't play. In order to get the $14 million, he had to play 10 games. And he didn't play 10 games, so he forfeited the money, which withdrew the franchise tag. If he had to play one game, regardless of whatever happened after that one game, the franchise tag still exists.
Right.
So with this Khalil Mack thing was, is he wanted, I think he was going to get 13 or 14 million. That was the last year in his contract. But they were going to give him like 8 million more, which would have brung him after the lineman for the Rams.
Aaron Donald.
Once Aaron Donald had signed his, Aaron Donald getting 20, maybe 22 million a year.
I think it's 22.
Yeah, 22 million a year. So that would have brung him right exactly where he was at, and that's what the whole thing was about. After he signed, it's like, wow, you know, I'm doing so much. But Khalil Mack had to remember, the Raiders only made the playoff 1 year, and that was 2016 with him there.
This is true.
So
that's true.
And I'm not saying he's not a viable defender, edge rusher, and he plays outside linebacker. They use him a couple ways in their defense. But what I'm saying is you know, why, if you want, you must didn't want to be a Raider that bad. If all they're saying is we're going to give you your money right here this year. We're going to give you a little bit, but we want to extend you for another couple years. And they balked on the deal. And
so in the case of Khalil Mack and Le'Veon Bell, they were seeking like more long term deals with like guaranteed money.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I personally wouldn't, like, I don't, if look at it, looking at it from that way, I really wouldn't blame them for leaving. Because if you look at their production, like, they far succeeded what everyone's expectation of them was. More Le'Veon Bell, definitely.
But the franchise tag, listen, the franchise tag is only good for 1 year. So what I'm saying is, all they were saying was if we can get you this year and you can commit to another year, and they were in the process of what they're doing now is freeing up a whole bunch of money. I think they're at like $90 million in cap space. So they were saying, hey, we're going to pay you. We want to give you some money. Let us do what we're going to do this year,
right?
Unload some things, make some moves, and then we're going to give you this $8 million. $9 million, but we need you to commit to us, so we won't have to be chasing you around, because he would have been an unrestricted free agent. So we don't want to be chasing you around come the end of this, in another 2 or 3 weeks here, or whenever the deadline is for this year for contracts to be up. let us lock you in.
Sorry, go ahead. I'm bad. My bad.
Let us lock you in, and we're going to renegotiate you a contract. He might have, and I think at that point, he might have been probably one of the highest played defenders in the league. But his team, because he stopped talking to Gruden. He talked to Gruden three times. And the third time, actually, he didn't answer the call. He referred all his calls to his agent. And then so the agent was talking to Gruden, didn't want to talk anymore. So he referred everything to McKenzie. So there it went. And once they said, listen, we're not doing nothing, he's like, I'm out. And here come the Bears. You know, once he became that unrestricted free agent, the Bears came with all this money. And he didn't deny it. But I don't – the Raiders didn't want to get rid of him. That's what people got the misconception of. They didn't. And John Gruden said that when he first knew he signed on to be the coach of this team, he had said Khalil Mack was one of the main things that he was going to try to – because he wasn't talking before they hired John Gruden. He wasn't talking to the Raiders. And he said he's going to reach out to him and see what we can get done. But, you know, it didn't work out.
But I do remember hearing John Gruden saying somewhere in an interview that
we'll play without him.
That they didn't have the money, like enough money to really secure him.
Yeah.
And I would say that, of course, you didn't have enough money to secure him. You just gave John Gruden a $100 million guaranteed contract.
Yeah, over 10 years.
Which is stupid.
Over 10 whole fucking years.
Which is stupid.
Well, what I'm saying, Rage, is that's what this whole what's going on now, how they're dissipating this team, that is the reason why. He was saying, we're going to give you money. Let us make some moves. This whole debacle was pre-planned. This is not nothing that the Raiders are just this sorry. You know, they're moving to Vegas, and they want to put a better product out there.
Hold on. We're not even sure of that yet because fucking Oakland is suing the Raiders, and I think as of right now, they don't even have a secure place as to where they're going to be playing next year.
Yeah, they're actually suing them because of the lease and the monies and all this. Well, loss of revenue is what they're saying. So, but at the end of the day, I think San Diego already agreed to take them. Somewhere else already agreed to take them if they leave. I mean, and they're pretty sure it's not a long shot that they're leaving. They're gone. They're getting out of there. And then the reports that they had about how the stadium is managed, how old it is.
Yeah, I heard that OC, that Oakland Coliseum looks like shit.
I heard it looks, man, reports that they saying is like, it's not even, because you got to remember, it's occupying two pro teams.
Yeah.
And then, where's the game they lost or they won and the kicker slipped? What was that, 2 weeks ago?
Oh, yeah, 2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago. The first thing they said was, oh, port field conditions. This place is horrible. So that's right there. I think they made the call and said, look, we're not playing back here this year. We're going to get out of here. And I had a buddy of mine. He actually went out to Vegas and looked at, they give you like a tour of what this new stadium is going to be like because they're only working on the first level right now because they got so many interactive stuff going on. They got this because of the heat out there. They're doing some retractable stuff with the grass or whatever, and that's what's taking so long. But it's guaranteed they're going to Vegas. That and they're actually putting either a pro baseball team there or a pro something else is coming too. So they're going.
Yep. You can best believe that a basketball – well, they already have a WNBA team there. You can best believe that an NBA team will be in Vegas. Like, they didn't build that T-Mobile Arena just so the Vegas Golden Knights could occupy it.
Or the UFC, because UFC does a lot of – that's where their home offices are at. But I say a basketball team or pro baseball, something's coming there.
Yep.
But
Raiders should have just went to LA.
Yeah.
I just think the Raiders should have just went to LA.
But you got to look at, there's only two teams, and they're the West Coast teams, the San Francisco 49ers and the Oakland Raiders. Both stadiums occupy two pro sports teams.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they're making way too much money now to be, everybody should have their own stadium. Come on. These guys generating a ton of money.
But I'm not totally opposed to the idea of like two teams sharing a stadium. Like, because, I mean, here, the Jets and the Giants, they share MetLife.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it seems to work out.
And it works. And it does work. I just feel like the Raiders should have just went. The Raiders should have went to L.A. Chargers should have stayed in San Diego. And, I mean, I don't know. I don't think the Rams should have. I mean, I really don't know.
It's crazy.
I would have preferred the Raiders go to Los Angeles. It just, to me, it fits.
Right. All right, I want to bring up one more thing that we'll cut out for the night. It's getting kind of late. Both of you guys can answer this. Gene, I'll start with you. HBO went ahead and are saying now they're going to stop boxing.
Right.
And I want to get your guys' opinion on that. What do you think about HBO canceling boxing
from the state? It's all about, to me, the promoters. I think top rank is Bob Arum. What's his name? Over Golden Boy.
De La Hoya.
Yeah, I think De La Hoya was actually starting to take over. HBO boxing was getting kind of boring. Showtime is actually showing, to me, the better fights. PBC or NBC are starting to, those channels are starting to come, or those promotions are starting to bring better fights.
Got the Charlo brothers on next Saturday.
Yeah, they got the Charlo brothers on next Saturday. It's free. And HBO, I want to say it was just losing its luster of fights, and I think it was because of the promotions. Because usually this Bob Arum guy, they don't really like this guy.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if it was a contract, you know, maybe a contract dispute thing where they didn't want to re-sign with HBO however. But I think Showtime is definitely taking over. And I think this PBC on NBC, I think they're moving right along in the ranks of having some pretty decent fights. Because ESPN will show a couple here and there. They had, which that'll probably be a little bit done because they got the Lomachenko guy. They got they had Terrence Crawford. They had those guys. But those guys are now winning so many matches or boxing matches to where they're signing with bigger promotions. And they're going to leave free TV. You're probably only going to see these guys on pay-per-view.
Right. And we all know pay-per-view ain't where it used to be.
My thing is, like, I do agree that these fucking promoters are the promoters are really a cancer to boxing, because greed gets involved. I still think HBO could have had a place in boxing. I do agree that Showtime surpasses them. The reason why I think HBO kind of lost its luster is because a lot of the fighters it all started with Mayweather. Like, once Mayweather signed with Showtime, that's when the fall really kind of started.
Yep, and that's then, what. Yep. Yeah.
But then you still had Pacquiao with them. And then you still have Pacquiao with them, and then Canelo ends up, you know, leaving Showtime to sign with HBO. And I thought that was, you know, that could sustain them a little bit, but then you have CBS, NBC, Fox. You now have the DAZN app, which I subscribe to.
Yep.
You have a lot of platforms now to where you can view boxing, and of course, you know, the medium of pay per view is really dead at this point.
Yep.
Like, you've had this good Tyson Fury Dante Wilder fight about a couple weeks ago, but that was on pay per view. But honestly, nobody wants to pay $80 to $90 to watch a fight. But I still think HBO could have still had a place in boxing.
Yeah.
I mean, what would be their place? I'm not sure, considering that, you know, considering what's here now. But with this comeback that boxing is going through, I still think they could have had a place. I don't know what, but they still could have.
Yeah, I agree. I do agree. They're going to come to regret that decision. All right, everybody. Let me go ahead and let you... Well, first, let me do this. Rage, what you guys got going on at Speakeasy Network?
Well, we got a lot going on, really. I think probably either today or tomorrow we will hopefully record episode 3 of The Word. And I have so much to talk about. So much to talk about on this episode. This will probably be a 90-minute episode at best. But that'll be coming. Of course, you got the Ham Radio Show and the White Trash Christmas episode. That'll be on Wednesday. Of course, you got Fuck, I'm a Millennial. You got The Fights of Life. You got, I mean, we got a ton of stuff coming. So stay tuned. Follow us on Speakeasy Net follow us on Twitter at Speakeasy_net. Follow us on Facebook where we share some of our live stuff on there. But we've got some stuff coming.
Well, don't forget, guys. Don't forget to follow along with us over here on Rant Eatin' Radio. We'll be back with you tomorrow for a new episode of The Sounding Wizards, followed by a new episode of The Rant. Then on Sunday, Then on Friday, we're looking at Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Philly Phil and Choppy, going over some of the classic matches from yesteryear. And then Monday, it'll be this fine show, The Sports Report, at 11:15 p.m. Eastern, right after Monday Night Raw. Let me see. All right, Gene didn't make it back. Okay. There he is. There's Mr. Gene.
What's up?
There's Mr. Gene. Mr. Gene, you got anything you want to say to carry us out this week?
Every team that could keep the Browns out of the playoffs, I wish they would do it.
What? By the way, who was it that made the prediction that the Browns would be in the playoffs? That was me. And nobody listened. I said that.
They're not in the playoffs this year.
Well, I'm telling you right now, the Browns, they're knocking on the door. Yo, I'm telling you, the Browns are going to be in the fucking playoffs, bro.
I think this team, this Browns team is the best it's going to get. This is the best Browns team you're going to see. I think they everybody's high expectations of them coming in next year, winning the division, which I highly doubt.
The division, man.
I want us to pay close attention. And Rage, remember I said this. I want us to pay close attention to Week 15 against the Baltimore Ravens against Lamar Jackson. This is the matchup I want to see because Will, this is the number one pick and the number 32 pick.
Yep.
Yep. And everybody's, Lamar should have been, you know, at 32. And I'm thinking like, okay, he doesn't throw a really accurate ball.
Right.
But this guy's a bona fide playmaker. He's won he started five games, won four, and only lost one, and that was to Kansas City by 3 points.
Yep. That's true.
That tells me a lot, and I know he needs to, and I know the reality of a running quarterback, you know, is dangerous. He can get hurt. I understand that. But this guy, to come in midway through the season,
yep,
not taking the snap,
yep,
and to come in and win four,
yep,
and then play a hell of a game against Kansas City.
Yep.
William.
Yes, sir.
I want you to have this on record, and you save this audio.
I'm taping.
The Browns are going to be winning the division next year.
Wow.
That's how much I believe in Baker Mayfield and that defense.
You
the
believe
Browns are going to win the AFC North next
Brian year. Sack's career right now is based on broken plays. I think he throws
believe,
a great ball.
I believe I
he can sling Baker it. Mayfield. He can sling it. But I'm going to tell you, this next year coming up,
we the Steelers are only going to keep trending downward. The only team I see them contending with is the Ravens. Other than that, I don't believe in the Steelers, and I don't believe in the Bengals anymore. This is the Browns' division to win. Baker Mayfield is going the Browns now are an attractive free agent destination. They really are.
What? I think
back up.
A facade.
Back up. Did you just say the Browns are an attractive free agent destination?
I did say that.
Oh,
dude, look at them. Oh, they have Baker Mayfield. They have fucking Nick Chubb.
Lord.
That defense is fantastic. And look, let's all assume Lord. Greg Williams is going to be the next head coach of the Browns.
I mean,
if I'm a top flight free agent, I'm not dismissing the Browns. I'm not.
Man, please.
I beg to differ.
Let me ask both y'all a question. Mm-hmm. Where would you rather go to at this point? Look, considering how both teams are right now, would you rather go to Oakland or would you rather go to Cleveland?
Right now, I'd probably go to Oakland because.
What? Oh my god!
Listen. This is my reason why people don't understand why they like. Why would you want to go to that? Because I understand process. I understand what's going on. Like I'm telling you, this Browns team right now is the best you're going to get. They got their best product on the field right now because of the simple fact they put themselves in position to not get draft picks. They put themselves in position to not have any money. He spent a ton of money trying to, you know, get those players in because once you bring those players in like Tyrod and those other guys, you still got to pay those guys.
Yeah.
You're going to see this crunch, and it's going to be like, oh, man, well, what happened to this? You know, he was all this and all that. He's a broken play quarterback.
If I'm Le'Veon Bell, I would strongly consider Cleveland.
If I was Le'Veon Bell, I would want to get the hell out that division.
I got one thing to say. As excited as I am to see the Charlo brothers in 2 weeks, what I'm more excited for is the return of John Bones Jones.
Hey, you know what? Now listen, they had their little pre stare down, and it's gonna be heated. I'm going to say this. I don't know if you agree with me, Rage, or not, but here's the I'm a big, really big UFC guy. I like John Jones, okay? I don't like him coming off of this layoff, this particular one here.
Against Alexander Gustafsson, I feel the same.
Against Gustafsson, yes. Gustafsson, you know, he's been at it. He's given DC hell. He's given him hell. This guy's no cakewalk, man.
Yeah, and I watched the first fight again this morning, And I can see how people would think that John lost that fight.
Mm-hmm.
Alexander Gustafsson was kicking his ass.
I'm talking
for about 3.5 rounds.
But that's the way John Jones fights. Because this last time he fought DC, he baited him for 2 rounds to make one wrong move. And he made it. It was the head kick. He went for a faint low kick. He put his hands down. And he took his head, tugged it a little bit to the side, and it opened him up for that short head kick. But that's the way John Jones fights. He likes to eat punches in order to prove his point or in order to strategize.
Right.
But I don't think coming off of this layoff, and I'm being totally honest, and I like John Jones. But when that age kicks in, that ring rust kicks in, you look at Conor McGregor, you look at these Michael Bisping, you look at these guys when they come in and they're aging a little bit. He sat out a little while, and I know it's only been a year, but still he could have had 2 fights in that year.
Yeah,
because he was the champion.
I mean, the way he came back. This is the last thing I'll say. When he came back. After his first layoff, mm-hmm. and he had that fight against Olive St. Preux. I can see where you're going with that. I still think John Jones to me is the best the best MMA fighter I have ever seen.
I've never seen a guy use every piece of his body.
Yeah,
his elbows, his head, everything. His IQ, his fight IQ is like through the roof.
I think matchup wise, both of them match up very well with each other. Yep. I see this going the distance. This will be a close fight. I got John Jones winning by at least like a split decision.
A split.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like a split. I actually think. If Gustafsson entirely doesn't respect him, I think because this guy's hard to knock out. I mean, Gustafsson's like one of those damn man. You can punch on him and man,
that dude's got a chin.
Oh, that dude's got a chin. But I ultimately think that John's gonna come change some things. I think he's gonna change some things because I think he think that his style. Of just getting pounded and then trying to maneuver after that, he can't possibly do that this fight.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
So this guy's he's gonna have to come out and fight. But that other fight on the card, Cyborg versus Nunes.
God, that's dude, a super fight.
Hey, that fight should be the main event. Is dude. That fight the main event or is that the undercard?
That's the co-main. Dude. I want Amanda Nunes to beat the shit out of Cyborg. I hate Cyborg.
Nobody likes Cyborg.
She's a fucking
Listen, I'm the odd guy. I like Cyborg.
Oh, okay.
Listen, but I'm going to tell you, Misha Tate said this. Misha Tate said, the hardest she'd been hit in her 11-year career MMA fighting was by Amanda Nunes. When she fought her, then Ronda Rousey fought Amanda right after her, she told, it was UFC Tonight, she said on the show, she said, listen, that's the hardest I've ever been hit. She said, if she gets a straight shot on Ronda Rousey, good night, Irene.
Mm.
Amanda Nunes, I mean, not a Nunes, Cyborg's Nunes. Nunes is probably one of the most dangerous fighters in MMA.
MMA.
Like she yes. will, like, she is a real brutal.
Yep.
She's brutal.
She lets her hands go, man. And it's like.
Yeah, that, and she has the size advantage. But what I like about Amanda Nunes is that she's a good striker. She's a fantastic striker.
She showed
me that when she fought Ronda, like all she did was tag her with shots left and right.
Oh my God.
So I would say that I that's a pick 'em. I really don't know. That's a pick 'em.
Because Cyborg is a heavy hitting son of a gun. But this is what we got to see is how well can she take a punch from a fighter like Nunes?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what we got to see. If she can walk through and eat a couple of Nunes' punches, it's going to be a long night for Nunes.
Yeah,
long night, because when she grab her. But Nunes has great takedown defense. But like I said, it's going to tell. The tail of the tape is going to be if Cyborg does get it, if she does get a clean shot on Cyborg and she eats it and she keeps moving forward, it's going to be a long night.
Yeah. Yeah. So true. So true. Mm-hmm. All right, you guys. That's everything. Unless you guys could come up with thinking anything else.
I mean. Maybe next year, my Pats will win number 6. Maybe next year. When we eventually sign Le'Veon Bell.
You hoping.
Oh, we'll get him. We'll get him. That's really the story of the Pittsburgh Steelers. They all eventually come to New England.
Dang, man.
They do.
Dang, man.
I do.
Oh,
man. I got to say, Will, I got to send you. What's your handle on Instagram? Is it TR? What is it?
TSRN999.
You said TSRN?
Mm-hmm. 999. Followed by 3 9s. Mm-hmm.
I gotta send you this.
Okay.
I sent you something to your inbox.
Cool. All right, you guys, we're gonna roll out of here for the night. I want to thank you for joining us. Rage, I want to thank you for joining us, my friend. Something's going on with my outro. I gotta see if I can get the outro fixed. But outside of that,
good talking to you, Rage.
Good talking to you too. Good talking to you. I need to come here more often.
Yes, you're always welcome, man. You're always welcome. I'll be. Thank you for being with me tonight, man. I appreciate it, fellas. Thank you so much.
All right.
Brother got to get out of here. He got to go to work. I will check you guys out later. Take care now.
Yep, see you later.
All right, guys. Peace.